Scheduling note, my plan is that to have a class next week, and then probably to be off until after Pesach. That's a good 2.5 weeks or so before Pesach, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting scared. How long we'll go into the summer months, I don't know yet, but for now, at the very least, we'll certainly go a little bit. And I do hope, actually, my goal is after tonight and next week to be done more or less with Parag Gimel. So at least we'll have a relatively neat way to, a neat place to stop before we have the break. We left off, as someone asked me as I was coming in, with Chava's punishment. I would have thought that at least half the room would have been unable to forget that, but perhaps it's just the point. They wanted to forget it. So that's just a reminder, and really where that leaves us is Adam's punishment, which is actually lengthier and actually in a certain sense, or certain, some perspectives, more confusing or more challenging than the previous two punishments. So let's take a look at the few psukim that comprise the totality of Hashem speaking to Adam and giving him his punishment. We are in Parag Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Everyone have it? Parag Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ul Adam Amar. To Adam it was said, Ki shamata l'kol ishtacha. Because you listened to the voice of your wife, Batocha min ha'etz, and you ate from the tree, Asher tzivi sicha, lemor, that I commanded you, saying, Lo socha mimenu, I told you not to eat it. Therefore, Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The land, the earth is cursed because of you, v'itzavon tochlena, only through great suffering or grief will you be able to eat from it, kol yemechayecha, all the days of your life. V'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach, thorns and thistles will sprout for you from the earth, v'chaltes esav asada, and you'll have to eat the esav asada, the grass that grows from the ground. And finally, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat, ad shuvcha el ha'adama, until you return to the ground in which, until you turn to the ground, ki mimena lakachta, from that ground you were taken, ki afar ata, you are nothing more in a sense than a clump of dirt, el afar tashu, you will return. Right, how does the saying go? From dust to dust. Okay, now, nothing like ending on a cheery note. I just want to add, by the way, that even though this pasuk is only mentioned to Adam, somehow Chava didn't escape that fate either. We all die, we are all up for Tashuv. That's interesting that that's specified to Adam, since obviously it's not limited in its application to Adam. But let's go back to the first of the three psukim. Really some very enigmatic stuff. I mean, you can't read these psukim carefully without having questions. So what are the questions that pop up? We'll do our best to answer them, but first we just got to know what to ask. What is strange? Let's start from the beginning. You're right, Gene, but before that. What is strange? Let's start from the beginning. What is going on here? This is just easy for you to digest, something difficult here, something surprising.
Why does he have to specify that? Like, if you just said ha'et, you would know what you're talking about, but he needs to reiterate.
That what?
The one that I told you not to eat of it.
Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. Okay, but I hear that.
You just say because you ate from the tree.
Right, that's where I thought you were going, which is the first thing in the pasuk, and to me is the most dramatic. Right? It's, why does Hashem stress the fact that Adam listened to Chava? In other words, let me put it this way. Let's imagine. Parenting 101, right? So you tell your kids not to do something, one of them not only does it, but then gets the other one to do it. And when you're disciplining them, so the one says, well, you know, he made me do it, she made me do it. So if, in theory, we would be persuaded, okay, maybe. But assuming that in 99% of the cases, that's not going to be a legitimate excuse, and we're punishing them, we're disciplining them anyway. So we would not tie it back or make our punishment contingent on the fact that you listen to your brother or your sister. On the contrary, we're really punishing them despite that fact, not because of it. it's best irrelevant, and it, more than that, it ain't unnecessary, but more than that, it's unnecessary. That was Adam's claim. His defense was, oh, but she made me do it. But obviously that didn't work. He's punished anyway. And yet, it's dafka that, which is put in as the almost contingent of her getting punished, which is really surprising. Again, it just...
Well, Hashem was bluntly telling him, look, Chava told you one thing, and I told you another. And who did you choose?
Okay, but that's not what he says to Chava.
We're talking about Adam.
I understand that, but my point is that Chava is not told, listen, you had a rule and you broke it. Chava's just punished. We understand why she's being punished. Right, let's just go back for a second. Elisha, previous pasuk, Elisha, it does not say, because you listen to the snake, therefore you're going to get punished. Right, Harry, according to what you're saying, to be symmetrical, it should have said that to Chava.
Of course, we have that view that it wasn't set up by
Okay, that is very snakey by you, Harry, because for 6-7 weeks you have been arguing on the Abarbanel, and now when it suits you, Harry Rashbaum, oh boy, that is low. And I want to note, it is caught on record on tape, Harry. Oh boy. Okay, so it's a decent effort, Harry. More than the defense, I have to say. I don't think it's going to be sufficient, because if that's the case, if that's all Hashem meant, then the question is, why didn't he say the same thing to Chava? The snake told you, but you should have listened. I'm sorry?
He told Adam specifically. He never told Chava.
Okay, so interesting. Good. So this goes back, perhaps, and we'll try to examine this in a little bit, but I think you're headed in the right direction. This goes back to something that we saw in Midrashim, which they struggled with to understand, how should Chava have known? So we saw two opinions. One opinion was that Adam told her. So therefore she should have trusted him and known. That was number one. We did see, and that's the point that you're striking with. It is, just to remind you, there was a Maimar Chazal, there was an opinion in Medrash that felt that because at the time, if you take the psukim sequentially, at the time of the command, that was before Chava is, quote, separated, and therefore she was around and that she was a part of him. So in a sense, everything he knew, that according to that opinion, she knew when they became separated because she was really a part of him. In other words, it wasn't someone who was given birth to who never existed before the rib was taken. She always existed, and that's perhaps very much in line with the Medrash that said, du partsufim, two-faced, in the technical sense, not in the pejorative sense, two-faced, and therefore she heard it, and then she was separated. So that was a machlokas, but I think... Again, this pasuk, if you're right, is definitely could be argued as a proof, as a raya for that opinion, and perhaps that would fit into the pasuk. We'll have to see. But that's, before we settle on a resolution, that's the first issue I think that has to be examined. Yeah.
Is the implication here, had he not listened to his wife, but had he just eaten from it, the punishment would not have been so great?
Good. I think the answer is, it's impossible. That would be ludicrous, which is really begs the question, so that... Which begs the question, so why mention the pasuk that way? Right. So we'll have to, again, the suggestion that was made may be headed in the right direction, but I think we'll have to work on it. Because again, I think the point, in theory, if you were right, then that would very easily make the pasuk understandable. But I think it's impossible if that's the case. Right? So that's really question number one. Okay, question number two. What strikes you next? Okay, you had mentioned, Gene, staying to my left. Right, the next continuation of the pasuk, Arura Adama Ba'avurecha. So what's so surprising about that? It's not the translation. The words make lots of sense, but what is the problem?
Why should the earth be punished?
What the earth do? Yeah. Right, what did the earth do?
And the question that we had left over, which we're waiting for the answer to, is how does Mina Keneged Mina?
Okay, fine. Well, we did see the Abarbanel tried that with Chava. If you take a look at... Your Pharadim, you mean? We want to know Pharadim. How is this Mita Keneged Mita Pharadim? Right? We've seen that for the first two. That's the question. So what is going on with this? You know, in what sense is it... How does it make any sense to punish an inanimate object? And in what sense is that an expression of a punishment of other?
Object, first of all, the inanimate object is not subject to...
Right, of course. Right.
So really, this is...
This is a pasuk. Ul Adam Amar. How does the pasuk begin? We're trying to punish Adam for his role, and somehow the earth gets punished. So you know, this was always, but like, see, I had a complex in high school, so do many kids, that I, so to speak, thought I was the other, by which I mean, any time that, you know, someone else did something wrong, I'm getting punished for it. You know, it was always, but he did it. What are you punishing me for? You know, so you somehow, godly, you always seem to be around the wrong place at the wrong time, you know? So that's, but I feel that's what happened to the Adam. I didn't say this at the time. I would have been too smart. I would have got punished for talking back properly. But it struck me. It's like, what did the Adam do? The Adam happened to be there. What? Because his name sounds like Adama, Adam. What did he do? What did it do, I should say? You know, what is he getting punished for? Adam's getting punished. What is this about? Who ever heard of such a thing? Why? Why?
Well, that connection is repeated Kipsachim later, where it says, Adshufa Allah Adama. So there must be some intrinsic connection.
Interesting. Okay. I hadn't thought about that. Good. Okay. Let's keep that as an keep an open mind with that. Kol Yimei Chayecha, some of Farshim, I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but just, you know, some of Farshim are bothered by what the need for that is, so they, but they all seem to say, those who comment all just seem to say that you might have had a Havamina, that there was, you know, a term limit on this punishment, and the answer is no, this is part of the human condition now, this is going to be your, right, this is now part of the human condition.
Yeah,
right. You know, or after 1,000 years, you know, people will, you know, that kind of, yeah, 100, exactly, okay. Pasuk Yirches is really not much that's commented on in the Mefarshim, but perhaps there are some gems here, but I didn't find them, let's put it that way. I'm not sure what so much to make out of Pasuk Yirches, because, you know, Pasuk Yirzayin is so famous, and Pasuk Yirches is so famous. So I feel bad that Yirches gets shortchanged, but I'm not sure really what to say about it. So, therefore, let's not move to Yirches. So let's concentrate on Yutes. Again, very, very famous. Pasuk, right, by the sweat of your brow, you will have to eat bread. Again, that seems like an unfortunate punishment, but again, it doesn't seem to have any obvious questions, somewhat straightforward. But again, as alluded to now by Eli, and we've seen already as we were reading it the first time, it's the continuation of the Pasuk, which is a little bit strange. Again, this sounds like maybe it's eternal, it'll be your whole life, don't think you can retire, you know, Hashem didn't plan for Social Security and retirement and pensions, you know, you're going to have the B'zayas HaPecha is going to be your whole life, maybe, and then we throw in this idea again, as I said, it's kind of shtupped in at the end, that's a technical term, shtupped, El Ha'adama, to the ground, right, Ki Mimeno L'kachto, Ki Afarata V'Alafar Tashuv. I mean, you know, as we'll see, that's the famous pasuk from Koheles. You know, okay, so if you have a Megillah with Pitkamim, with sayings, that's a nice saying. I mean, it's a morbid saying, but okay, it's eloquent, whatever. But what does that got to do with this? Yeah.
The Pasuk proceeds, the last four words, Ochavas, Esav,
Hasadah.
You know that we as humans employ the grass of the earth. That's a literal translation, Ochavas, Esav, Hasadah.
Yeah.
But that's really not. And then it goes into Lecha. What is Esav HaSadah? What is it? It seems like it doesn't fit. Now, I think I saw somewhere a medrash that said that Adam was upset and he said, I'm going to eat the same food as a donkey or whatever. And then God rescinded that. I don't remember where I saw it, but I mean, it's clear.
Yeah, I don't think I was planning on really focusing on it, but if you take a look at the second Rashi in Pasuk Yud-Ches, I think he is trying to struggle with this, and I think the point is, just in short, not that that's exhaustive, but first of all, you have to remember, number one, at this point in history, it's likely that they were really vegetarians. Right? The meat was only permitted to them after Parshas Noach, after the flood. So that's number one. And number two is, so it seems like, again, I think this is what Rashi is playing with, it used to be that, you know, everything that grew was very edible. And now you have this conjunction of the pasuk that now all of a sudden there are going to be things that are growing that are not so edible, and only some things are edible, and maybe they're not as juicy and delicious as they used to be. It's just...
We have meat.
Wheat, you mean forever?
Yeah,
okay, but in the moment,
if this is the klala,
right? Okay.
Forever,
yeah, I would take a look. I think the Rashi seems to talk about that. I'm not sure if others do, and I'm not sure if it's sufficient. It's a good point. I didn't really think about it or prepare for that.
Generic kind of a term.
Right. But okay. But even if that's the case, that still limits. Yeah, that's still limited to things that grow. Although you'll see as we get shortly the Rashi on the previous pasuk of Aruha Adama, there's a medrash which Rashi quotes, which does seem to imply that certain animals can be referred to as growing from the ground, or certain bugs at least. So I don't know if that's connected or not. Just a thought. Yeah.
Chris says that it's saying,
if
man does not want to work hard, that's what he would only find. And he says, wouldst thou go on living as if still in paradise? Thou wouldst have to eat grass. That. Like, if you you don't.
Oh, I see. I see. So, I see.
It's like a condition. Like,
oh, I see. So if you want to be as lazy as you could have been,
then all you'll have
you're not gonna, you don't have to starve, but all you'll have is grass. If you want to work, that's the only way. That's not that.
You'll get
to
let them.
Interesting. Okay. Refresh always has these creative readings. Okay. Not interesting. Okay. So let's go back now and let's see what we have in store. So the first thing that we mentioned was this kishamat. What is going on here? Why, again, poor Chava, it's not enough that she gets punished and she's, you know, remembered. Now, even when Adam's getting punished, somehow she gets dragged in. And it's, since we know that it doesn't excuse Adam, so why is it being brought in? So here we seem to have two opinions in general about what she did. And I think the first does seem to imply a direction that Harry, all kidding aside, Harry was going in the sense that Adam is being held responsible, and in part of the story is the fact that he listened. Now, the Medrash does not address the question, which I think is still a good one, which I asked Harry, which is, so why didn't it do the same thing with the snake? Maybe because obviously there's a difference in the snake and Chava, I'm not sure. But if you take a look at the Medrash here at the top of the source sheet, we saw this in an earlier context when we saw the actual narrative of Chava talking to Adam, and we asked, well, how did she get him to eat? And we saw two opinions in the Medrash, and even though that was earlier, on our Pasuk, where the Hashem goes out of his way to mention listening to Chava, so the Medrash here also says these two different opinions. And you'll see why all of them, though, still share something in common, as contrasted with the next opinion, which we'll see in the next source. But just to review them, because they're really fascinating, each in their own way, so the Medrash says, again, quoting our Pasuk, Adam Amar Ki Shemat L'Kol Ishtecha, you listen to the voice of your wife. So the first opinion is, Rabbi Simloi Omer, B'Yishuv Hadas Ba'as Elav, which I would translate in this context as calculating. And she spoke calmly, forthrightly. She didn't try to trick him. She may have seduced or manipulated him or, you know, pulled on the heartstrings, so to speak, to guilt him. But she did it b'yushav adas. It wasn't b'haroma. She wasn't tricking him. She did it maybe calculatingly, but in that sense, straight. Namely, amar lei, mat at sover. What do you think? Shani mesa, b'chava acheres nebreislach. What do you think? I'm going to die, I ate the fruit, and now another one is going to be, so why do you have to worry about it, because you'll get another wife? After all, doesn't the Pasuk in Kohelet tell us, there's nothing new is going to happen, meaning she's, you know, convincing him that, guess what, you're going to be all alone. So, and again, I think different Mepharshim understand this comment differently. Either it means, listen, you're going to be all alone, so you might as well, go down with me, so to speak. Or maybe it means, along the lines, as we'll see now in the next thought, continuing, ma'atzav, or alternatively, shani meisav ata yoshev l'cha patelis. What do you think, that you're just going to get to live alone, right? The bachelor's paradise, you think that I'm going to die and you'll just get to hang around alone? After all, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, lo so bara l'shevet yitzra, the world was created to be populated. And again, there the thought, according to some of our Hashem, seems to be that, well, listen, if no one else is going to be born, so that would mean that you're going to have to die anyway, because what would else be the point? So more likely it means she's arguing to him, well, obviously I'm not going to die, because if I would die, then you'd be alone and there'd be no point in the world. So if I'm not going to die, you might as well lead it, because you're not going to die. So bottom line, after all is said and done, she's manipulating him, she's trying to cajole him. But going back to the first line, she came straight forward. He knew what was happening. And the whole premise of this medrash is she's eaten it, he knows it, she's told her, and now, one way or another, by hook or by crook, she's getting him to eat it. The Rabbanan have a slightly different opinion. Amrinan, and we saw this before, hitchila miyalelas. She started crying, alav b'kola. In other words, it wasn't so much that she convinced him one way or another that he might as well eat it, but rather she just appealed to his sympathy and his emotion. And the proof for this, the Medrash says, is an inference, is a diuk. After all, what does our pasuk say? It does not say kishamat ledivrei ishtecha. It doesn't say you listen to the words of your wife. Rather, it says lekol ishtecha, to the voice. And therefore, so according to this, a very subtle reading of the Medrash, it's not so much what she said, but how she said it. It was the voice, namely that she was doing it in a crying, tearful way, Ayayay, and kind of like, you know, she's afraid to die alone, so, you know, he's going to die with her. And again, Lahavdil, so to speak, but it reminds me of the incredibly inspirational story. I spoke about it, I think, 2 years ago, Slichas Night, of the from fellow Abe Zalmanovich, Zichron Lavracha, who was a bachelor. He never got married. I think he was in his 50s, if I remember correctly. He worked in the World Trade Center, and he had a coworker who happened to be not Jewish, was a paraplegic, and the coworker couldn't get down the steps, and he waited with him, even though he knew his family was on the phone with him, begging him, get out, get out, get out. He says, I can't leave him alone. So, you know, and incredible story, incredible Mesiras Nefesh. It came out because of the family in the first week. In that famous speech right afterwards, George Bush mentioned him in the Congress, mentioned him by name, was a great Kiddush Hashem. But be that as it may, you know, it always strikes me that, you know, if you're there to leave someone when you know they're just going to have to die, it's a very, very powerful thing. And it may even get you to be willing to give up your life. And it sounds, according to this opinion in the Medrash, while maybe that paraplegic, I think he was more passive. I don't think there's any evidence that he was trying to convince Mr. Lazarus to stay with him. It was more out of his goodness of his heart. But here, Chava is trying to convince Adam, you can't let me die alone. You know, at least let's die together. But you can't let me die alone. That's too scary, too painful. That's a kola, right.
And again, he uses the word kola.
Correct, which is why almost no, you know, that's one opinion, but that's the reason that none of the other opinions feel the need to, but, you know, it is. I thought it's a little bit striking, and certainly the image of her crying and begging him is certainly a very vivid image to consider. But the bottom line, the upshot of all of these approaches is, he knew what was going on, he knew what she had done, he knew what she had eaten, and therefore, for whatever reason, he decided to eat it too. Now, if that's the case, then our Medrash is, then again, in light of the Medrash is basically saying that the Pasuk here is throwing that in to, so to speak, inform us of the fuller picture. But does it have any bearing on why he's being punished or deserving to be punished? Not necessarily. It's just giving us kind of background. I don't know if it explains it as cogently as I would like in terms of why it's being mentioned here, but that's all it really means. Nothing more than that. Now, that should all be contrasted, though, with the opinion of the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim, HaKadosh, this is the second source on the sheet, so he doesn't quote it explicitly, but he bases his premise on another Medrash that we had seen, again, way back when. The other Medrash which was discussed, which was what was the Eis HaDaas, and we saw that in that context, one of the opinions was that she made juice, or she, whatever that fruit was, she crushed it up and made it into a juice. But then she was able to go to Adam and say, here, have some pomegranate juice or something else, have some carrot juice. And he drank it not knowing that it was the juice of the Eis HaDaas. That was an opinion in the Medrash. So that's what the Or HaChaim says. In light of that, he says, that's why the stress here is on Chava. Lama dikdik lomar l'kol ishtukos, says the Or HaChaim. I'll tell you why. L'fi ma sheperashnu, ki Adam lo yoda be'eis ochlo. He did not realize at the time he was eating ki Eis HaDaas, that it was the tree of knowledge, Eis HaDaas. L'chein lo yutstak lomer, it would not have been, we asked the question, you asked the question, why did the Torah say, just say, you're getting punished, ki achalta min ha'etz, because you ate from the tree. Why does it say that your wife told you, that you listened to your wife? Ki hu lo achal min ha'etz bi'edia ela b'shogeg. He didn't know that he was eating from the Eis HaDaas, according to this opinion. It was all an accident on Adam's part. And that's why the pasuk stresses, you know, why did you eat it? Accidentally, you were tripped up and tricked by your wife. Again, this Medrash that Or HaChaim is quoting, this is why I'm setting them up in contrast, it's based on a premise which is mutually exclusive from all of the opinions in the previous Medrash. Whatever the details of the first Medrash are, but one thing they all agree on, he knew what was going on. He was either guilted, tricked, or whatever, you know, connived, manipulated into eating it also, maybe. Or he just wanted to because he was tempted, whatever the reasons were. But he knew, according to all those opinions of the first Medrash, he knew what he was doing, he knew what she had done. According to this Medrash, which the Or HaChaim is now quoting in our pasuk, he had no idea. Right? There's no image of her crying, of her tempting him, or of her guilting him. It was just, hey, aren't you thirsty? It's been a warm, hot day here in Gan Eden. Want a drink? That's all. No, nothing fancy. Oh my gosh, once he drank it, oh no. Now, you might ask, why does she do that? So then you can plug in the other answer. She didn't want to be alone. She thought this. She thought that. But the bottom line is it never had anything to do with Adam, and he had no idea according to this opinion. Now, if that's correct, we'll stop now for a moment, run the question of Pshat. I think the Archaim would make a lot of sense. So if the whole reason he sinned was because of her, so that's why it's being mentioned. But what did I ask when we were reading it? We so to speak, we bavarned. We anticipated that that might be an explanation. But why had we at least ostensibly rejected it? Because if that's the case, why did he get punished at all? Right? It's all one big accident. She should get the book thrown at her. She's not just a violator. She's a more than that. She's an enabler of other people. She's tricking people. So why does he get punished? So here is the brilliance of the Or HaChaim. He has an answer for that too. Namely, Shekibel Dibrei Ishto V'lo Padak Acharel. He took her word for it. He should have looked into it. He should have asked her, where'd you get it from? He didn't say what kind of juice is this. She said, here it is to drink. He just said, thank you. He didn't say, what is it that you're serving? V'nimshach lo mizeh shochel min ha'etz. And what ended up happening to him was that he ate from the tree. Quote unquote, me'eza eitz lakacha. He should have said, right, never eat anything without knowing what it is. He should have asked, what tree is it from? And therefore, is that the same as intentionally? No, it's called shogeg. But just like in Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Kashrus nowadays, shogeg does have some level of responsibility because an accident involves not being careful enough. So to here says the Rechaim, that's why the Pasuk mentions it, and he gets punished anyway, because on his level he certainly should have been more careful. Now I'm not thrilled with this last part, because the truth of the matter is if you want to use a halachic model, we generally assume that if someone who is reliable offers you food, you don't have to ask, on the contrary. Right, exactly. Especially if you want to talk about husband and wife, 100%. Right, every single night, right? You know? Again, although I do ask what is for dinner, I don't then ask what I do ask, you know, chicken, meat, fish, what is for dinner? Nothing. What did you make? Okay, that's I don't know, what is for dinner? We had eight of them.
They were newlyweds. She hadn't yet established.
I said they were newlyweds. It was the first dinner. So that's why you really should have just taken whatever she gave. I couldn't understand. You know, he was probably at the offer if they probably said them. Adam? Now listen, when she offers you that first meal she's never really cooked before, you just smile and say it's delicious, honey. So what was he supposed to do? Nevertheless, as the Or HaChaim, he does have some responsibility. So if you accept, and again, the reason I'm happy that I came across the source. I'm not convinced if it's the right shot in the pasuk. I'm not sure. But I am happy because it brings back to us a fundamental question which we might have forgotten, which is in light of that midrash which we learned about way back when, so that really begged the question, so why is he getting punished at all? So I don't know if there's other answers out there. Again, one basic answer is to take all the other opinions of the midrashim and say, no, he did know. Okay, that's the easy answer. But we do have that one opinion lying around that said he never knew. So again, the only makor that I know that addresses that, but according to those others, is this Or HaChaim, and he does try to figure out a way where there was still some level of responsibility for Adam, again, because he too readily and naively accepted what she offered him. That is. Right, so you could say, why he really does get the book thrown at him, right?
Yeah, he threw the book at him.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
I think your logical explanation is to call Rishon.
Right. Yeah, could be. Let's move on, though. Just to try to finish everything here. The next thing which we asked, which was also equally troubling, maybe even more troubling, what is going on with the ground, the earth? Why is the earth being punished? So before we get to the why, I'll ask you a better question. How is it punished? In what sense? What does that mean, Arur Adam? What does it mean? So there are a few different opinions in the Mefarshim. If you'll take a look at Rashi, let's start with Rashi, as always. Rashi tells us, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Arura Ha'adama Ba'abu Recha. This is based on a comment that is in a few different Midrashim. Ma'aleh lecha, the earth will bring up for you, will, so to speak, bring forth, dvarim arurim, cursed things. Kigon zevuvim, flies, ufar, oshim, and fleas, unamoim, and ants. We'll stop there because the next part of the Rashi is not discussing what, but discussing why. So let's stop here for now. So according to Rashi, this opinion in the Medrash, it's referring to all sorts of annoying, you know, bzz, 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 you know. And in some sense, I mentioned absolutely before, this is considered coming, giving forth from the ground, and therefore, since these things, as some of the other Mefarshim add, they, again, it's interesting though, you probably know this, because you always know the biology and the nature of things. You know, and when you go to like the zoo or something, they, or this, you know, the insect park in the zoo, they tell you how like the whole ecosystem, it depends on the little ant and the stuff, right? So it's clear, if that's true, the Rabbi Chazal, at least in this matter, does not know that. Because they go out of the way, some of the Mefarshim go out of the way to say, don't tigers sometimes bother people, and don't sometimes the birds, I mean, how come just these three types of things bother people? And the comment that some of the Mefarshim give is, no, they're just saying they can annoy you, and they don't do anything for you. They don't. The other animals all can do something constructive, but, you know, you have to be careful they don't hurt you. Whereas these three, what do? These rodents, these pests, they don't do anything. And yet, they hurt you. So, that's, I don't want to get into that area, but anyway, that's just as an aside, if you go with that opinion in the Medrash. Now, there are other opinions, just for example, if you take a look at the Eben Ezra, that's the third source on your sheet, he says something that's very common, the Radak agrees with this as well, Shelo Toti Tevua Rabba. The earth is cursed forever, and that the same amount of growth or seeds or whatever you would have put in, it used to give you a greater yield. The earth used to be booming, you know, like you just scratch the surface and the oil would flow. And now, even though it grows, but you don't get the same yield as you would have. That is the opinion of the Eben Ezra and the Radak. Nothing to do with flies and ants and birds, whatever. It just has to do, it doesn't as much. The Sforno says something interesting because, as we will see, I hope, many other Mefarshim acknowledge this, but they just see it as being inferred by later in the Pasuk, not this phrase. The Sforno says on the pasuk, on the phrase Arura Adama, the earth is cursed, Shelo Tosif Ted Kocha Lach Bilti Avoda, that it still can do great things, but it can no longer give you its full bounty unless you put in lots of work. It used to be more natural, now you need to put in more work. And as we'll see, and you can imagine, that really does seem to be the next pasuk, right? So according to the Sforno, it's a little bit redundant, I guess, because it's already implied, this idea of hard work, in this phrase. But those are the two or three different opinions that I saw in the classical Mefarshim as to what does this mean? What is implied by Arura Adam? But in light of all this, now we really have to get to the main question, which is not the what, but the why. Why should the earth be punished? What, for goodness sake, did the earth do? So take a look for a moment at the Bereishis Rabba. The next source on your sheet does try to give an answer to that question. Moment. Sorry. Okay. Why was this fair? So the Medrash Rabba starts off the following very interesting phraseology. Tani, just because it starts off in a very vivid way and sharp way, asking the question that we are asked. Bashir Rabbi Nosson, they said the following. Gimel nechnasu l'din. Three people went into court. Dalid yatsu muchiyavin. And somehow four got guilty. What is going on? Adam, Chava, v'Nachash, Nichnasu l'din. All three of them have to answer God's call. And yet, somehow, when it came time to punishments, you know, that's flying carelessly, and it even picked off a bystander. And somehow the earth gets punished too. Shenemar, Arura Adam v'Avurecha. Shetehe ma'al l'cha hadvarim arurim. So, he doesn't answer the why question yet, but again, this is the opinion in the Medrash that says the what, in what way was the earth punished, because it has the birds, the, you know, the bees, the flies, and the ants. Fine. So now comes the Medrash third line. V'loma niskalala. The Medrash asks our question, the obvious question. Why? Why should it be? What did they do wrong? Only three went into judgment. Why were the four punished? So, quote two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shalom, Rabbi Pinchas, I guess. Rabbi Yehuda Shalom, the first opinion, Amar, the earth did do something wrong. This is delayed punishment, but nevertheless due and deserved punishment. Sh'avra al-Hatsivoi. The earth, we saw this way back when, rebelled against the command of God. Shekach Amar LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem said to the earth, Tadsheh Ha'aretz Desha. And what did that imply? Mahapri Ne'echol Ha'etz Ne'echol. Hashem wanted that even the bark should be edible and delicious like the fruits. Ve'hilo Astakein. But the earth decided, we aren't going to do it. Ella, and that's why, again, we learned this way back when, this is a famous chazal, but Totsi Aretz Desha, the phrase that was used when it came to the actual creation, if you remember, when we way back when we were doing the creation story, so there was always two halves of each, so to speak, day. Hashem wanted this to happen, and this happened. And it was every other time it was mirrored. But the chazal understood in that pasuk that there was a little bit of a difference between what Hashem seemed to have wanted and what actually happened. And chazal said that's exactly what happened. Hashem wanted the trees to be edible, not just the fruit, and somehow the earth itself pulled a fast one and just said, no, totsi ha'aretz desha, only ha'pri nechal, ha'etz eino nechal, the bark is not edible. So even though that happened way back when, the Medrash does not explain why the punishment was delayed until now. Maybe Hashem was going to let it, sometimes, lahavdil, as a parent or sometimes as an administrator or a school, one person does something wrong, you figure you can let it slide. Because, all right, everyone's basically aligned. Then all of a sudden everyone starts doing things wrong, then you'd realize, you have to lay down the law or else it's going to be chaotic. And once you're punishing the later people, how can you not punish the first person? That's just my theory. I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone explains this. Why should there be a delayed punishment? But be that as it may, and again, whatever it means, and this is a little bit of, I would say, a kabayachal from our perspective, whatever it means to say that the earth rebelled, we don't understand exactly what that means, but to the extent that that is conceivable, so then Hashem says, okay, now you're going to get punished. You are either going to have some, you're not going to be able to produce as well as you could have, or you're going to have, all these creepy crawly things which are not going to bring too much fame and glory to you. Be one way or the other, that is the opinion here. Of the Medrash. Good. Let's just see continuation. So the next opinion, Rav Pinchas Amar, Avo Siva Al Atzivoy. No. That's not what happened. That's not in Hanami. Yes, there's a little bit of an inconsistency in the pasuk going back to the creation story about the trees. But it's not that the earth rebelled and rejected what Hashem wanted. They, so to speak, they out Chava. Before, Chava adding on to Hashem, the trees were added on. The earth itself added on. Hosifa latzivoy. Why? Some kolasos bara. Of course, they did what Hashem wanted. They even did more. Etos apriya filane sirak asu peros. Hashem wanted that there should be two types of trees: barren trees, so to speak, and fruit trees. Hashem wanted that the fruit trees should also have the bark to be edible. Comes along the earth and came time to produce and pop up the trees from everywhere, and they wanted to know that there should not just be fruit-bearing trees and what's called ilanei srak, or barren trees. No, all trees should have fruit that are edible. Afilu ilanei srak asuperos, all types of trees. Right, the oak tree should have fruit. All types of trees. Right, the pine tree should have fruit, edible fruit, delicious fruit. All types of trees should have fruit. So in that case, says the Medrash, according to the first opinion that they rebelled and rejected what Hashem wanted, so we understand why the earth was punished. According to Rabbi Pinchas, who were then only did they do what Hashem wanted, but they did even more, does the earth really deserve to be punished? Now, if you would stop me, I would have said, yes, after all, we saw that from Chava. Doing too much is also not doing, right? This Lahavdil, right? What's the story with Rav Breuer, I guess they say, or, the German rabbi has an appointment with someone, comes a few minutes early, secretary says, please have a seat. A few minutes later, buzz in, the rabbi will see you now, and he figures he's been waiting for a few minutes, he's thinking, when he opens the door, someone's going to walk out. No one's there. He says to him, what do you mean? I don't understand. Secretary buzzed, said I was here a few minutes ago. You didn't take me, I figured you had somebody. How come you didn't take me? And he looks and says, early is also not on time. That's the old yucky joke. Right. So, that's true. In this case, right, adding on to what Hashem wanted is also not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted what Hashem wanted, what Hashem said. That's the moral of the Chava story. But for whatever reason, the Medrash does not want to say that. The Medrash assumes that according to this opinion that, quote, all the earth did was add on to Hashem Tzivoy, then really, 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 the earth does not deserve to be punished. So then why is the earth punished? Fascinating. Says the Medrash, Ella Kinnish, it's like a person to Amar, and about whom we say, Yehon Leiten Mizaya Tahadin Menik. Let those breasts from which he or it nourished be cursed. In other words, child messes up, it looks bad for the parents. It looks bad for the parents. If your progeny do bad things, it brings shame upon the person who gave birth to the person. And in that sense, Adam, ki min ha'adama, lukaka, the earth is, what's the saying? Mother Earth, says the Medrash. Yes, exactly, Mother Earth. The earth is considered Adam's mama, and Tata maybe too. And therefore, just since Adam was punished because he did something wrong, so too the earth has to get a little bit of a patch, because they are considered responsible, in its sense, as a parent, as that saying members. Now, it's interesting, was the last week that I read this online? There was a whole tumult. It was in England. There was a boy who was like 8 years old or something. I think he's not Jewish, but we'd call pre-bar mitzvah. And he was obese.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to give him over to the
government. And they even considered, they were so upset at the parents, but they were going to take him away. Parent and the mother, right? Or I'll give you, I think in America, not long in certain cities or counties, I remember reading about this, right? In public schools, the truancy problem was so great in certain communities, right? They were going to throw the parents in jail if the kid didn't go to school. So you have, societies have always struggled with this question of to what extent to hold parents responsible for the sins of their children. Obviously, I guess the older the child gets, the less culpable from a legal perspective. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, let's be honest, even if you hear about an adult of a certain, doing something terrible, human nature is to, so to speak, put a little bit of a cloud over an entire family. So the question is whether that's fair or not. But at least with some measure, the measure seems to say, especially in this case, a one-day-old Adam, the parent is considered responsible. Not the same, but a little bit of a patch, yeah.
The issue of goof and the shama. I mean, the earth was the mother of the goof, but the Rabbanishwan was the mother of the shama.
By the way, we saw this before, that there was a certain level of embarrassment for Hashem.
Right.
We did see that. I forget exactly who said it, but we did see that in a previous shiur.
No, not mentioning the name of the tree.
Right, that's it. Thank you very much. Right, we didn't want to mention the name of the tree of Eitz Hadas. Right, what kind of tree it was, whatever, because that itself was an embarrassment to Hashem, just like the animal, right, with the bestiality situation, right, where we kill the animal because it brings embarrassment to the person. So too, the tree, if it was known what tree that was, according to that opinion of the matters, thank you, that would bring embarrassment to Hashem. So you're right, there is some element of that. There is.
See, the matter is extremely problematic. It still doesn't address the basic gut issue here, which is we're dealing with an inanimate object.
Right, well, if you don't like that, Harry, if you don't like that, then you're really not going to like the next Medrash.
Yeah, okay, but I'm saying, whatever nature has within it, nature itself, in terms of grams of earth, whatever it is, Hashem, these are characteristics. We're in the Bria, we're built in the Bria. I mean, the earth is going to make a decision and change it. I mean, it's difficult to comprehend.
Yes! That. Yes.
So the message is very difficult to understand.
You ready for the next verse?
Okay.
The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, I'll tell you simply what the earth did wrong. Im Adam Chata Machet Eretz Shinara. That's the word. Shinara. If Adam did the sin, so why was the land cursed? Ela Al Shaloh Higed Es Maaseh, which means, it didn't call out. It didn't say, Shabbos, give out. It wasn't mocha. It didn't protest.
Wow.
That's the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says. And Hanami, it wasn't his fault. It's not the mother. And it's nothing to do with the trees from way back when in creation. But here he is sitting quietly by. He should have said something, right? There should have been an earthquake. There should have been a big thunderstorm or a tornado. The earth should have shaken, so to speak. And because that didn't happen, therefore, the earth is punished. Leficha, therefore it was punished.
All right, just one other point. You see, I think the fact that the earth is mentioned here, like incidental, the onus was directed at the Nachash, the Isha, and the Eno. And the fact that the earth is mentioned, that's really an onus for Adam. I mean, the earth, Hashem, this character, Arura Ahari, I mean, that what the one who suffers from this is
Adam relies on.
It wasn't, the Torah didn't come out, Laharis Omar or something.
Good, excellent.
So, I mean, we're not looking at it as.
So, it says, I feel bad, Harry. It wasn't nice of me. Here it was, I was, so to speak, lording this next source over you. I knew it would make you feel bad. So if that's how you feel, Harry, you're really going to love the next source, and the final source on the issue, and that is the Mizrahi, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Exactly, okay. Not the Rashbam or the Rashbam, but the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi says everything until now was all misunderstanding. Everything until now is all misunderstanding. The Torah never meant that the earth was going to be punished. What kind of business is that? What kind of business is it punishing the earth? Of course not. Rather, last line, Ha'arira hazos v'ada l'amos. I think I probably left that a typo. That's probably El Adam. Adam is the one who's being punished. Not the ground, of course. Shemolido devarim mitza'arim oso. The earth isn't being punished. Some characteristic, whether you believe it's these flies, buzzing creatures, or the fact that the yield isn't as great from the crop, whatever it is, who suffers? Not the earth, of course not. Give me a break, says the Mizrahi, in essence. Who suffers? Adam suffers. That's all it meant. That the way Adam was being punished, it wasn't like all of a sudden he was going to limp or something. You know, there could have been a more direct punishment. So begs the question, maybe, why? Why use the earth to punish Adam? That he doesn't answer. But he does say, that's all it means. And what's his proof, Harry? Exactly your diuk. That's exactly what is implied by the introduction of the pasuk, which says Ula Adam Amar, focusing on Adam, not Ula Aretz or La Adam Amar. Kolomar, meaning to say, Arirusa Haisa Ba'avuracha. It is for you. You are the one who is going to suffer from that. So, again, it's interesting that other than the Mizrahi, though, everyone seems to be, so to speak, in the orbit of these midrashim, which do seem to take it as the earth being punished. Really, it gets back to almost a grammatical question, which is, how do you understand translate the word ba'avurecha? What does that mean? Is that, you know, that the earth is actually being punished, or does it just mean, so to speak, vis-a-vis you? As you will relate to it, it'll be difficult. That's basically the question. But Mizrahi had one approach, which Harry liked, and there were all these other midrashim. I would say that, again, the moral lessons that are contained in some of these opinions or the midrashim are still very powerful. In other words, you may not like that picture of Eliezer, but I think that the moral lesson happens to be something that I've spoken about, something I feel very strongly in, which is the notion of sometimes, even if you're on the periphery of something, even if you're not the one doing something wrong, but sometimes, and again, it's discretion and knowing when yes and when no is not always easy, but sometimes you have to say something. Not just because, you're necessarily going to change it, because sometimes a statement needs to be made. Sometimes, you know, you need to be, so to speak, the record of history should note. You know, I'll give you as an example, I spoke, was 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember anymore, I think it was the Massachusetts Supreme Court in gay marriage. And I made the point then, I hope I'll be wrong, but I said it then, I'll say it now, the second that could be debated in America is the second that we lost. If it won't happen this generation, it'll happen next generation, something that inconceivable to the entire world history, all of a sudden now became conceivable. So, it's just a matter of time, and in fact, there are other countries where it's already, so I made that point then. But I nevertheless felt, and I said strongly then, I believe now, that we have to fight it tooth and nail, even if we know it's a losing battle. Why? Because when history is written, chalila chalila, it should either have no entry called the Jewish people, we were silent, or even worse, that somehow we aided and abetted it. The history should write that the Jews, the Achmeis, and the Catholics, and perhaps some of the Muslims and the Evangelicals, they fought and they lost. That's how history has to be written. Sometimes you have to make a macha, you have to stand up and be counted, even if it ends up not having a practical consequence. Sometimes it can actually make a difference. But even if it doesn't, sometimes you have to make a statement. And that's what this Perek of Eliezer is saying. The earth was punished, again, in a sense, kaviyachol, because it didn't make a statement. Could it have stopped Adam? No! But it should have protested. It should have let it be known that there was something that bothered it, so to speak. Now, again, maybe that's all metaphorical. Maybe that's not even the right way to read the pasuk. But there's a moral lesson there that I do think is worthwhile. Furthermore, even the earlier opinions about adding on to Hashem's word or ignoring Hashem's word, all those different things. Again, whether or not the earth is really being punished or not. But again, there is a certain moral truth which I think can be gleaned, even if one were to accept Mizrahi's pshat in the pasuk. some of those other midrashim may still be valuable. Okay, we have a few minutes left, not much. Let's just mention some of the other marmakomos which relate to the end of the pasuk and the other psukim. So I mentioned, just as an aside, that even though it was the Sforno, right, it was the Sforno who says that Arura Ha'adama means that it's going to be hard work, while no other person, another mafarshim that I know, use that as an understand the phrase Arura Adam in that way, but that notion is certainly part of the punishment of Adam. Many, including, for example, I gave you the Radak, say that as the understanding of the next part, the Itzvon Tochleno, that somehow through effort or through suffering you'll eat. So you see there the Radak says that it used to be easy to get food from the ground, now it'll be hard. Now you might have asked the question, didn't the Pasuk say way back when, the beginning, L'Ovda Ula Shamra, you have to work the land, so why is this all of a sudden a chiddush? Now they're going to have to work hard. It always said La'avda, says the Radak, that was easy. In other words, you scratch a little bit from the ground, boom, beautiful corn. Scratch over here, boom, a peach tree, right? Oh, delicious. Now you're really going to have to work hard, says the Radak. So again, the Sforno, the Radak, they all say that that's an important component of an Adam's punishment, but they may disagree about which phrase in the Psukim imply that. A very interesting alternative approach to a lot of this is mentioned here in the HaMikdavar, which is, so to speak, that every, you know, the silver lining in the cloud. The HaMikdavar, the Netziv, said that this punishment of hard work isn't really a punishment. It's a bracha. Right? Because when you're idle, you may worship idols. Right? In other words, too much free time is not a good thing. Right? Look what happened to Adam. He didn't have to do too much work. He got himself in trouble. Says the HaMikdavar, L'tovascha, Shlo Yosur Midarchei Hashem, you stay busy, you stay on the straight and narrow. And quotes the famous phrase of the Pirkei Avos, Yofet Torah Im Derech Eretz, Sheyegia Shneihem Mishkachas Avon. Right? If you have them both, you not only are you committed to the values, but you work hard. Derech Eretz, in that case, clearly means working. That's the context. That's not me being a medj. That's what Derech Eretz in some contexts mean. There it means working for a living. That's what Derech Eretz in that Mishnah means. Yafa Shneihem, right? Because if you have those together, you will, and Torah alone apparently was not enough. And we have that in other contexts. Actually, there's a different Maimar Chazal that speaks about that, for example, in the context of women in particular, although this one is more universal, by the fact that if you're not doing something with your time, inevitably you're going to find the wrong thing to do. So the HaMikdavar does see a little bit of a silver lining. The psukim end, as we know, with this, from dust to dust reference. We're all familiar with that in more popular culture, but it all goes back, of course, to this pasuk. Just as a reference, just to fill out the picture, even though it's not in Bereishis, it's also very well known from the pasuk here in Koheles and Perek Gimel, right? Hakol hayam in ha'ofer, v'hakol shav el ha'ofer. Everything comes from the dust, and everything will return to the dust. As a last point, we see that most Mefarshim understand this like the Sforno. The Sforno says this is a punishment, and it's a punishment that was pre-warned. Adam could not claim that he got himself into something he didn't know about. After all, Kamosha Hodati Bacha Kishitzivisi, says the Sforno. Hashem was telling him, listen, when I told you originally not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, what did I tell you? And if you eat it, you'll die. So, guess what? It didn't mean it immediately, simultaneously, as one opinion says, the snake tricked Chava by convincing her. Look, you didn't die right away. It's not obviously poisonous. No, it means that death will be part of your reality. So that's what Sforno says. That's what Adam was promised. And sure enough, Hashem is certainly going to keep his word. Shetia Muchan El Hamavis Besof. It's coming. You have to now know, guess what? All life will end. However, just to conclude, Ahamek Dover, the Netziv, consistent with what we just saw a moment ago, he takes again a slightly, if you will, more less punitive approach to the whole Parsha. He says it wasn't so much a punishment, but a natural reality. Ki Ofer Ata concludes the Ahamek Dover. Kamosh Biarna, no, I looked, I could not find, he's referencing a previous comment. I don't know where his previous comment is. I didn't read all three Prakim of HaMikdavar, but I didn't see it right away. So if anyone ever finds that, please let me know. He alludes to something he says already. She'eino Onesh. Death is not a punishment. Adarabba, Bir lo Hashem. Hashem explained to him. She'enu ma'anisha b'misa mishlum shelo acha b'meifed. Apparently the Nitziv also accepts the notion that Adam didn't do it on purpose. Therefore, such a zav punishment to say you're going to have a capital crime, I'm not going to give someone a capital punishment just because he did something accidentally. So I, why is misa, why is that being brought into the equation? Elaha misa hubateva shahari afar ata. It's natural. If you were purely spiritual being, you could have gone on forever, perhaps. But an earthly being is inevitably going to have to return to earth. It's the nature of the way Hashem created the world, and that was not necessarily a radical change, but rather a natural outgrowth of the process. Yemez Hashem, we will pick up next week with the final and concluding psukim, I hope, of the Perek, which returns now to the naming. We're actually, in a very fascinating way, we keep on referring to Chava, even though she never had a name yet, but it's in these psukim now that the animals are concluded named, and Chava gets her name, and then we will be ready for Adam and Chava, the family. You think you have trouble with your children? You can only imagine what Adam and Chava had to do. Okay, we'll pick up with that next week.